everybody, and welcome to a breaking news edition of Sean and Al's Wrestling Podcast. There is chaos in the pro wrestling and MMA worlds, and I think the question on everyone's mind coming off of last night, Al, is what was more legitimate? Brock Lesnar shoving Daniel Cormier or Josh Barnett going after Jay White? Which one was more real?
Oh, Josh Barnett going after him was way more real. If you don't know what we're talking about, Sean, give us a breakdown of what happened in that match.
I don't know what happened in that match. There's been... we'll kind of get started. I thought that was just a funny joke. So we had the big New Japan show last night in San Francisco, and there's been reports of talent not happy with the English commentary provided by JR and Josh Barnett on Access TV. And there's been tweets about it, I think, from some of the talent, even criticizing them. So then there was a spot where Jay White suplexes Juice Robinson into the barricade, and legitimately JR goes flying.
Goes flying. Takes a huge bump.
And this isn't a work. JR is, I think, like in his mid-60s. He's not doing this just to make a few extra bucks. This was legit. And Josh Barnett stands up. Well, he says, "You done effed up," except he didn't say effed up, and goes into the ring and chases Jay White around, and the match just stops for like a minute. I mean, what did you I think it was like the biggest shoot since Montreal that's happened on TV and pro wrestling.
That's the first thing that went through my mind. And when Josh Barnett jumped into the ring, he had bad intentions.
What if the guy didn't back down?
Oh, man, that would have been a full-blown fist fight in the middle of the ring.
Well, it wouldn't have lasted long, I don't think.
No, Josh Barnett would have wrecked him quickly.
How awesome would that have been if he just like... If just in the middle of the match, the announcer kills a guy for real and they go to commercial.
It would have gotten the best ratings, you know, of all time for New Japan Pro Wrestling. The strangest thing was is that how serious Josh Barnett was. Josh Barnett kept walking
in
the ring.
He is a good friend of JR.
He then proceeded to kind of chase the guy around. What was his name? Who was he chasing?
Jay White.
Jay White. He was chasing Jay White around, and Jay White knew really fast that he had made a big mistake. And Jay White knew that he wanted no part of Josh Barnett. And the best part of it, in my opinion, was is that Josh Barnett just went full rage mode, okay? He went 0 to 100, and he did not care at all that it's his job to be the announcer, not be the guy that goes in the ring and ruins the show and potentially ruins the company. If Josh Barnett beats the shit out of him, I mean, the New Japan Pro Wrestling loses all credibility. All credibility!
Well, I mean, he is accomplished, but, let's get to the big story.
Dude, it was awesome. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. Everybody go watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube or Twitter or something. Maybe I got worked. Maybe this was all planned and JR just took an accidentally stiff bump.
Dude, it was a huge bump.
I know.
He took a huge bump. Jim Ross is the last bump that Jim Ross took was in like 2002.
It was like when Linda McMahon low-blowed him in 2006, I think, and he got fired. But that was not the biggest news of last night, but was it the most real thing of last night? Because what happened at the end of UFC last night seemed more like pro wrestling to me than what we were watching on that New Japan show.
Let me break this down for anybody that wasn't able to watch the show last night. Obviously, UFC 226 was one of the biggest UFCs of the year, and in devastating UFC fashion, Max Holloway and Ortega was canceled last second. And Francis Ngannou and Lewis then was the co-main event. And they went out there and they threw the biggest stinker of all time in the UFC. They threw, I think it was 24 punches total in a 3-round fight. And
just to let everybody know, I did not see the UFC show except the YouTube highlights of the last 5 minutes. So tell us about, like, because this plays into what happened later. This was just like the worst, most bizarre fight ever.
It was the worst, most bizarre fight of all time. And this fight had all of the hype behind it, all of the excitement behind it. And what everybody thought was is that Francis Ngannou was going to go out there and kill Lewis. And if you don't know a lot about Francis Ngannou, in the history of the world, he punches harder than anybody in recorded history. And when...
Like scientifically.
Scientifically. They did a sports science on it on ESPN. And so the UFC really thought that this was going to be the guy that was going to really drive the company. And I promise I'm going to go back to wrestling, but hear me out on this. And so this ends up being the biggest stinker fight of all time. The crowd is booing 2 minutes in. They boo the entire fight. And then all of the sudden, here comes the camera, switches to the crowd in the middle of the fight to Brock Lesnar. All right. Brock Lesnar shows up at 11 o'clock at night, you know, for the co-main event. And all of the attention then turns from the fight that sucks to the beast incarnate.
Now, I did not know this, so they actually cut to Lesnar during the
fight? Oh, yeah. And then, all of a sudden, during the intermission, Brock Lesnar walks up to Joe Rogan and goes, "Hey, man, want to be on your podcast?" And then walks out.
He could come here if he wants
to. Dude, Brock, you're welcome here anytime. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but you got to bring Paul Heyman with you. And so, then it's the main event of the night. It's Stipe Miocic against Daniel Cormier, Goliath versus Goliath. This is the super fight. This is the thing that everybody wants to see. Daniel Cormier knocks out Stipe Miocic, does his celebration with Joe Rogan.
And this was a huge moment, right? Like, everybody loves Cormier, and this was his big, like, vindication from what I read.
Cormier, his entire career, has been arguing the fact that he's one of the greatest fighters of all time. But because of Jon Jones and him beating him twice... It's always been this thing where he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, okay? And what Daniel Cormier did last night was he became the first champion ever to move up from 205 and win the heavyweight title. And he's the second guy ever to hold two titles in two different weight classes. Conor McGregor, Daniel Cormier. Those are the only two.
Okay. So, I didn't even know that. I am an MMA very casual fan.
He wins the fight. He does his, you know, "Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, this is so great. This is a great moment." And then it turns into professional wrestling. Okay. He takes the mic from Joe Rogan and goes, "I've known this guy for a long time. He's a wrestler. He's an All-American. Brock Lesnar, get your ass in my ring right now." Brock Lesnar flies into the ring, shoves Daniel Cormier in the wussiest push I've ever seen, okay? If Brock Lesnar pushes you, you're falling down. So right off the bat, it's like, okay, we're doing a wrestling segment. This is awesome. I love wrestling. He shoves Daniel Cormier, okay? And they have to be split up. Joe Rogan's panicking, like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, stop, stop, stop." And what happens next is they talk a little trash. Cormier pushes Brock. Brock then takes the mic and proceeds to go on this unbelievable promo where he's like, "F Ngannou, F Stipe Miocic, F Cormier, I'm back." And then he
said, like, "I'm coming for you, mother effer."
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what he did. And then here's the thing that nobody really realized. Then Brock Lesnar whips the microphone and hits the camera guy right in the face. Oh. I mean, just clear as day.
I did not notice that.
Oh, my gosh. It was perfect. But let's talk about the real news. On the last podcast, we talked about how Brock Lesnar has not signed for SummerSlam.
And we didn't know why he won at WrestleMania.
Exactly, exactly.
Dots connecting, perhaps.
Yep. So what they're going to do now is they're going to do Daniel Cormier and Brock Lesnar in the UFC. That's for sure. We know that. We just don't know what the contracts look like at this time. We don't know if this is a one-fight deal, a five-fight deal. And I imagine what's going to happen is that the details are going to come out very soon on what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar. But here's what I know for sure. Brock Lesnar is fighting for the UFC title, but he is the WWE heavyweight champion. And this seems like a conflict of interest, right? But over the last 3 months we've been doing this show, I've been talking about how the WWE and the UFC were going to work closer together. And this is the perfect example of that. Can you imagine, dude, if Brock Lesnar is the WWE and UFC heavyweight champion of the world? Can you imagine the promos Paul Heyman can cut in that type of setting?
No. First off, I can't imagine the promos that Heyman could cut, because that would be, I mean, Paul Heyman made, 9-1-1 seem like the greatest thing ever. So if, I don't even know if you know who he is. He was an ECW wrestler. So
of course
if
I know
he, let's not even, before we even get into that, like, it sounds like from what I've been reading, Brock Lesnar is going to be cleared to fight in January.
Okay.
Is he, like, not going to wrestle? Is he going to, like, not defend the title for 9 months in WWE? Is he going to... I don't know where they're going with this. Exactly.
I do. They're going to do Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. They have to.
And just have Brock beat him and then go into training?
I think it's the other way around. I think he's going to drop the belt to Roman, okay? Then he's going to go do his UFC thing where he does all of his camps and commits to that. And then I think Vince is going to play up the... Look at this. Roman Reigns beat the UFC champion. And that's going to be kind of the angle that they play to try to elevate Roman Reigns. We know Vince isn't ready to give up on Roman Reigns yet.
See, what I think would be cooler.
Yeah.
And what I think might happen.
Okay.
Just because my man, Paul Heyman, who is always in the middle of everything interesting for the last 25 years.
Yep.
I wonder if they would have the guts, and they have the money now with these TV deals that everyone is sick of me talking about, to let Brock Lesnar be the WWE champion while going into the octagon to fight Cormier. It's a huge gamble, but what if the WWE champion beats the UFC heavyweight champion in a real fight?
Dude, how awesome would that be to hear Brock Lesnar's wrestling music hit? Out comes Vince, Triple H, Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar wearing the WWE title, marching down, winning the UFC title. I mean, can you think of a better situation for both the WWE and the UFC?
I mean, it's an interesting time. They both have their TV contracts secured. WWE came out a little bit better, but it's not like UFC's hurting for money either. They're both doing very well for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Would Vince take that risk, though, of letting his... I mean, what if the WWE champ gets, like, punched out in a minute? You know, that's not a good look.
Right.
But the upside is insane.
I can't even imagine the upside. I mean... There is nothing like that. First off, Brock Lesnar is the only guy that could ever pull something like this off. There aren't other humans that are built like Brock Lesnar, that look like Brock Lesnar, that can fight like Brock Lesnar, that can wrestle like Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is the best of all time at everything.
Everything Heyman's been saying has been, we think it's a promo, but he's been shooting on us pretty much.
Right. And you know what I noticed, and this is interesting, is how good of shape Brock Lesnar is in right now. And if we're just going to put all our cards on the table, here's what happened. Last time Brock fought in the UFC, he fought Mark Hunt and he won. And then he flunked a steroid test the next day. And then he was back on Raw on Monday night. You know, is this one of those things where Vince is going to want to steer clear of that happening again? I mean, because isn't that kind of a black eye for the WWE right now?
Didn't seem to be the last time.
It didn't seem to be any time it's ever happened.
It didn't seem like anybody cared.
No one did care. That's the best
part.
It's
Brock Lesnar. We want him to be on steroids.
Dude.
We're Chicagoans. We wanted Sammy Sosa to be on steroids and hit home runs.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. This is a philosophy lesson over here. I want people to take steroids and perform better at professional wrestling and UFC fighting. Does that make me a bad guy?
I just feel like with Brock is like, no one's going to get mad at Brock, but whatever. That's kind of a tangent, but I still, what if Cormier didn't win last night? Would they have done the angle with his opponent?
I think so. I think that was the plan. It was like, we don't care who wins this fight. We're setting up Brock Lesnar and the winner of this fight. And so I don't think the UFC is rigged. I think that was the game plan going in, is we're gonna switch the camera over to Brock during the co-main event. We're going to get some hype behind that. And then all of a sudden, no matter who wins, Brock's going to face him. And what led up to this is before John Jones was suspended for all of his nonsense, he called out Brock Lesnar. And that was going to set up the super fight of all super fights. John Jones, the greatest fighter of all time against Brock Lesnar. And... that was going to be the biggest UFC card ever in the history of the world. And because Jon Jones can't keep his shit together, they had to go this other route. And obviously Daniel Cormier and Brock Lesnar is going to do big ratings, but it's not going to do as big ratings as Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar would have. That's just how I see it.
How about this side of it? Last week, you and I had a little bit of an argument about whether UFC is a sport or pro wrestling. I know there are some UFC fans saying, what, like he failed his drug test last time, lost his fight before that.
Right.
Like he has no rightful claim to be getting a title shot except for dollar signs, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely not. And during the segment where Cormier and Brock were kind of pushing each other and yelling at each other, Daniel Cormier kept calling Brock Lesnar a dinosaur, saying you haven't been a champion since 2010 and really discrediting everything that Brock Lesnar's done in the UFC. And to be totally honest, I agree. You know, Cormier's been there winning year after year, doing things that nobody's ever done. And then Brock Lesnar gets to show up and he's just all of a sudden in a main event. Like, the UFC is turning into the WWE. It's like they recognizing what Vince is doing and seeing all the money that he's making. And they're like, we are going to do exactly what he's doing.
Well, and my understanding is like when they bought that company for $4 billion, they took out some high interest loans and like they have to make a lot of money in order to pay back their loans.
Sure.
So if it means Brock gets a title fight totally unworthy or CM Punk fights on a show, like they got to pay their bills right now.
Right, right. But I think it's really good for both the WWE and the UFC. Because we've been talking about for a while that there has been wrestling is good and good, but not great. And I think this adds a very interesting dynamic with when are we going to see Brock? Is Brock going to SummerSlam? Will he be at Survivor Series? Will he be at the Rumble? Will he be at WrestleMania next year? Or is he going to take the UFC totally serious and he's going to go missing from the WWE for 18 to 24 months.
But he's a champion.
I know. That's the weirdest part of all of this. And man, oh man, I hope they do this right, though. If Brock's going to drop that title, I hope it's not on Monday Night Raw in some Hulk Hogan, Bill Goldberg in Atlanta type of thing.
Nah, Vince isn't stupid.
No.
But isn't this fun?
Oh, it's so much fun.
You were a little too young in the ECW days to remember when Heyman used to screw with our minds and we weren't sure like what was a shoot and what was a work.
Right.
And now Heyman has brought that, and I'm just assuming it's Heyman because who else could come up with this concoction besides Heyman and Vince and Dana White all working together? This is fun. We don't know what the heck is going on. There's buzz.
This is so much fun. So let's take it a step farther. We got SummerSlam coming around the corner. WWE's got to have a good show. Let's live in a world where Brock Lesnar's not part of the show. If you're the guy writing the script, what matches are you setting up for SummerSlam without Brock?
Well, I mean, what I would do is obviously going to be different than what Vince is thinking. I think the next thing, since they're doing Roman and Bob at Extreme Rules, what's left besides another Roman Braun match, right? Is there anything else that you can think of for SummerSlam unless Shawn Michaels is coming back or something?
No.
On the Raw side, at least?
What could be interesting is, you know, we've obviously been giving Daniel Bryan a lot of love, and maybe with Brock falling off and going to the UFC, maybe this is where Vince decides, like, we're doubling down on Daniel Bryan. We're going to have him go in the main event, and we do Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles at SummerSlam in the main event, and Roman and Braun be the co-main event.
Ooh, people would be happy in New York about Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles in the main event. I don't think they're doing it, though. I think they've been saving the Miz match for this show.
Imagine if they pull a complete 180 and Shawn Michaels makes some promises where Vince pays him enough money to do the Australia thing, do three or four shows, and we get Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan in the main event of SummerSlam.
I haven't even thought about that yet.
How can you not think of that?
I thought about Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle. I hadn't even thought about Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels yet.
I mean, is there more of a dream match than Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels right now? Is there any other match that you would rather see Shawn Michaels have than that match right there?
Not really. I mean, I'd love to see him and Joe as just kind of like a big guy, little guy dynamic. Yeah. But no, I mean, Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan against the guy who, but we're going down the path here. I mean, we have no idea if Shawn Michaels is coming back or anything. I think it's still going to be Daniel Bryan against The Miz and AJ Styles against Samoa Joe at SummerSlam as the SmackDown matches. And then Raw, I don't know. I mean, if Brock could wrestle at SummerSlam, that would still give him 5 months to train. I mean, is that long enough for UFC? Or is he going to have to go into hardcore training like right now?
I think he has to go into hardcore training right now. And I know he's been an Olympic level wrestler and he's fought in the UFC and he's a veteran and he knows how to do it. But I think the truth is this. He hasn't fought in a while. I think it's been 2 years. He needs to get into a camp. He needs to train at a level that is probably harder than he's ever trained before to fight a guy like Daniel Cormier. If I know Brock Lesnar, he does not want to lose a fight to a guy that's going to weigh 30 or 40 pounds less than him.
Well, let's get into that. Since you're the UFC expert and I'm the novice here,
sure.
What are your projections on a Brock Lesnar-Daniel Cormier fight?
I think going into the fight, I think Brock Lesnar will be the favorite, and I think Daniel Cormier will be the underdog, and I think Daniel Cormier is going to win again. And I hate saying that because I love Brock and I want to see Brock win. But people don't understand that Daniel Cormier is one of the best fighters of all time. And what he does is fight. All he does is do MMA. All he does is train. And Brock Lesnar, if Brock isn't able to out-wrestle Daniel Cormier, and Daniel Cormier is one of the best wrestlers in the world, man, Brock's going to be in trouble.
Let me throw something totally crazy out there right now.
Please
because
do.
Nothing is too crazy for 2018.
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier is a huge pro wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
Like, I went to the Jim Ross show in San Jose, and he was there. He loves wrestling. What if there's, like, an agreement with Vince and Dana that whoever wins this fight is going to be at WrestleMania? Could you see Cormier, like, do enough to do a 10-minute match at WrestleMania and WWE gets to save some face if their champion gets his butt kicked? Or
Daniel Cormier teams up with Ronda Rousey?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that happening, and I think Daniel Cormier would be all about that. One of the things that Daniel Cormier has done better than anybody is he's marketed himself in a way where the UFC has had no choice but to reward him financially with allowing him to be an announcer, by allowing him to fight in the main events. And man, oh man, Vince can definitely make some money off Daniel Cormier. And then we always talk about Conor, and I know we're beating this thing like a dead horse, but if you have Ronda, you have Daniel Cormier, you have Brock Lesnar, you have Conor McGregor, you literally have all of the things that the UFC bet their lives on. And boy, oh boy, let's get excited for what the potential holds there.
Yeah, I mean,
man.
It's Vince's world right now. I mean, he's putting $500 million into football. Maybe Brock will go play a year at linebacker or something. I have no idea anymore. But how fake was that whole thing, though, at the end? I mean, was that just totally staged pro wrestling?
Yes.
Like 100%?
Yes. And you want to know what I think happened going into that? Was that was not part of the plan. I think Brock was going to be part of the final segment. But because of the co-main event with Ngannou not working out the way that it should have, I think Dana White went up to Brock and said, "Brock, I need you to do that WWE thing right now, and I need you to, you know, make a splash." And that's exactly what he did. And the reason I think that is because of the way that Brock Lesnar cut that promo. And listen, I get that Brock Lesnar doesn't cut good promos and why Paul Heyman is essential to the
success.
Well,
he doesn't cut good PG promos.
He doesn't cut any good promos.
Well,
that's how
that,
I see
that
it.
Promo after he beat Mir when he talked about going to drink Coors Light and lay on his wife or whatever.
Was that a good promo or was it just funny?
Got heat.
It did get heat. It did get heat. But when he grabbed that mic and put it up to his face, I don't think he knew what was going to come out of his mouth, and he just turned into Brock Lesnar, the real guy.
Oh, man.
Dude, it's chaos right now.
I don't even know what to say about this. We all wondered. Everyone spent 16 months waiting for the Roman Reigns coronation at WrestleMania this year.
Right.
And no one understood or has been able to offer a theory to me in the time since then as to why Brock Lesnar won the main event of WrestleMania this year and then just disappeared after they spent all this time building up Roman Reigns just for Roman to lose again and then lose again in Saudi Arabia. The only thing that makes sense is that they knew that there was a deal in place for Brock to fight in the UFC as the WWE champion. I can't figure anything else out. I mean, otherwise, why not just have Roman win at WrestleMania and then Brock can go off and do his stuff and whatever.
I mean, that had to have been the plan.
Did I just crack the code?
Yes,
I
mean, you just cracked the code.
I'm pretty good at this stuff. I've been following Paul Lee for a while now.
Dude, that's definitely what it is. And you know, I mean, we couldn't figure out why Roman Reigns didn't win. And don't get me wrong, we were super happy that Brock Lesnar won. But we just couldn't figure out why, because it just didn't make any sense.
And then we couldn't figure out why there was rumors Brock wasn't going to be at SummerSlam.
Yep.
Nothing was adding up until last night.
Yep, and now it all makes sense. And, you know, so if you rewind the tape, what, 5 years when Brock was really having success in the UFC, that's where the Undertaker and Brock's rivalry started.
Oh, God, that whole thing.
Undertaker just sitting
there. You're right. This isn't the first time Brock's done a pro wrestling angle at UFC, is it?
Nope. And this is one of those things where I think Vince was like, man, that really worked. We're going to do this as many times as they let us. And so I'm very interested to see what angle they take for wrestling. Because if the UFC and the WWE are working together and there is those deals, why wouldn't somebody like, oh, let's just say, how about Dwayne The Rock Johnson sitting in the front row for Cormier and Brock Lesnar, and as Brock walks by him, Rock gives him a people's an eyebrow and maybe gives him a small little push and says, you and me, WrestleMania, and then that gets all the buzz going there. We have to see Rock versus Brock at Mania, right?
Everyone listening to this podcast right now is thinking that we're insane.
Yeah.
They're thinking
we're
crazy and that we're just Vince fanboys, but did you see this coming?
Yeah.
Did you see Brock winning at WrestleMania and then showing up in the octagon at the end of a UFC pay-per-view doing a pro wrestling angle? Did anyone see that coming?
Right.
So tell me I'm crazy. If you called this 6 months ago, then I'll listen to you.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for this special breaking news update. Usually we do a weekly show, but it was chaos last night. And we'll be back in a couple of days recapping whatever in God's name happens in the next few days of pro wrestling, MMA, and anything else. See you, everybody.